Welcome back to our study of Exodus. We are in chapter 18, and we're going to pick up with verse 12. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God, and Aaron came, and all the elders of Israel, to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God.
Now, here's something to pay attention to, because people don't understand. I think a lot of people don't understand about the sacrifices. You can just have the idea that you just sacrifice that, and where does the food go, you know? Well, the bottom line is they eat the food. And so the sacrifice is given to the Lord, but then the people eat the food. Mm-hmm. You understand? You can see this in Romans, especially where he's talking about meat sacrifice to idols, okay? And so that was a practice even with the pagan religions, that they would offer, they would cook the meat on the altar, if I can say it that way, as a sacrifice to whatever god, but then they would sell you the meat, you understand? Or in this case, where Jethro is offering a sacrifice to God, this is legitimate, and then they go in and they eat this meal, honoring God for what mm-hmm. he's done.
And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening.
So the next day, Moses sits down and judges the cases that the people bring before him. And here's the way he's judging that. And you can miss something here if you're not cautious. He's just teaching them the laws of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people are standing, waiting to be the next one in. They have a situation that has arisen, and then Moses is acting as a judge to tell them, all right, this is what God says about this situation. Okay?
Yes. Verse 14. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou dust to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning until evening?
So think about this. From morning till evening, Moses is occupied with teaching people the laws of God. And the people are waiting in line to mm-hmm. be the next.
Mm-hmm.
And Jethro says, what are you doing? You're going to wear yourself out, and you wear the people out.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you like to stand in line?
No.
Nobody likes to stand in line and wait, do they? And so that's just open the door for people to complain or whatever. And so Jethro is observing what's going on. He says, you're going to wear yourself out doing this.
Mm-hmm. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws.
So they're coming to Moses to find out things about God, and then they're coming to Moses because they have problems with one another. And so Moses is teaching them the statutes, the laws of God. And so he's having to judge between cases. But note this. This is not personal judgment.
Mm-hmm.
This is paying the judgment of God.
Mm-hmm.
You teach people what God says. And today we get into all this stuff with counseling. And just tell people what the Bible says about their situation, and get out of this professional counseling mentality.
Wow.
Give them the ordinances and statutes of God.
Yeah.
That's the best thing for their life. And then in some cases, you don't even, who made me the judge? Remember Jesus said, hey, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me.
Mm-hmm.
Man, who made me a judge? I'm not interested in this natural stuff.
Yeah.
Get your mind on God, and you get your mind on God, and you won't have a problem with one another.
Mm.
And that's where you have to take people. Get your mind off of who's doing you wrong, and get your mind on the Lord who's done you right, and then you won't be bitter and resentful, and you do wrong. There's a lot that can go with that, but I'll be nice.
Okay.
I could just say, you've been living without it before. What's the problem? I tell you, money brings the worst out of people. It's absolutely amazing to me. It just changes people. I remember before Mama died, there was a situation that some friend of hers was telling her that they'd just been to a funeral and the siblings got in an argument there at the funeral over who's going to get what. Mama said, I hope you boys won't do anything like that. I said, Mama, that's the least of your worries. I've been living this long without anything you've got, and so have Donnie and Howard, so you don't have a thing to worry about. I will promise you that we could care less. And that was an absolute fact. It's never an issue. You understand? You get your mind on natural things, and you're going to be trying to figure out if you're getting your fair share. I told her, I said, as far as I'm concerned, they can have anything you've got. You ain't got much. You understand? Keep your mind on the Lord. Get the judgment of God. Follow the principles of God. And you won't be self-centered and wondering if you're being done right or wrong. Let me ask you this. Was Jesus done wrong? Did you hear him complain about it? Then what's your problem? All right, we'll move on.
Okay. Verse 17. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that you do is not good. You will surely wear out both you and this people that is with you. For this thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to perform it by self alone.
Jethro observes and says, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And Moses tells him. He said, what you do is not good. You're going to wear yourself out, and you're going to wear the people out.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yes.
We need to evaluate sometimes and see if what we're doing is good.
Mm. Verse 19, hearken now unto my voice. I will give you counsel, and God shall be with you. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them the ordinances and laws, and thou shalt show them the way wherein they must walk and the work they must do.
So Jethro gives this counsel to Moses. You should continue to be the people's representative before God. Not taking that away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Bring the cases to be decided before God. And give to the people God's judgments. Teach them the laws of God. Instruct them in the ways of God. And in so doing, you'll teach them how to conduct their lives. This is why we put so much emphasis on getting the Word of God in you. You get the Word of God in you, it will tell you how to conduct your life. You understand? You start thinking like God, you're going to find you have fewer problems.
Mm-hmm.
Your problems amplify when you start thinking about you and you become self-centered. Learn the ways of God. You understand? So Jethro's not taking anything away from Moses here. When he says, what you're doing is not good. No, you need to be teaching them the laws of God. You need to teach them the ways of God. But you need to change your modus operandi.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In verse 21, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto you, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee.
So Jethro told Moses, some honest,
mm-hmm.
That's a key word, some honest men who fear God.
Mm-hmm.
You can have honest men who don't fear God. No, find honest men who fear God, and I'll note this, and hate bribes.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they just don't want to bribe, they hate bribery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And here again, they have to be capable of giving proper judgment. You can't give it if you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
How can you tell somebody what's the way of God if you don't know the way of God? Mm-hmm. How can you give a judgment on something when you don't even know what the right judgment is? And so he's not just saying, just randomly pick anybody you want to and get the pressure off of you. He's saying, select.
Mm.
Know these people. Know those who labor among you.
Right, yeah.
Know that they're honest. Know that they fear God. Know that they can't stand a bribe. And also know that they have the capability of communicating God's ways and judgments to people. Mm. You see this?
Mm-hmm.
Now, There's some things that I really want to say to this, but go ahead.
Okay.
Let me just go on. Here's a chain of command. He says, point over thousands,
mm-hmm.
over hundreds, over fifties, over tens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now what's these? What he's really saying here is everybody doesn't have the same ability. And so when you point a guy over 1,000, he needs to be extremely knowledgeable in the ways of God. Extremely knowledgeable. The guy over the hundreds, there may be some things he doesn't know. So then he can refer it, if he doesn't know the case, he can refer it to the guy over 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the 50 the same way in the 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get to the difficult cases that they don't know, then let them bring that before you.
Yeah.
You see, there were times when things were brought before Moses that Moses didn't have the answer.
Yeah.
And so he would go to God to get the answer. Like the guy picking up sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do we do? He gets the judgment of God, and then he passes judgment. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You can't just flippantly say, well, I think it ought to be this way and, mm-hmm. you know, that way. It's not like a judicial system today to where it's so dishonest and bribery mm-hmm. and all this type of stuff. Okay? But he set up a system. This is what Jethro was telling him to do. Set up a system to accommodate the people,
mm-hmm.
but be certain that the people that you put in the position of judges, so to speak, mm-hmm. are capable people
mm-hmm.
who will give righteous judgment, and they will not show favoritism.
Mm-hmm.
That means no attorneys. No plea bargaining. This is the law of God. You follow me?
Yes.
Now, this is often referred to as the Jethro Principle. And there are people who criticize it. and people who teach against it because they don't read the rest of the Scripture. They say, well, here you've got this guy, you know, Moses' father-in-law telling him how to judge a nation. But it doesn't work that way. That's not what he's telling him to do. He's given him a protocol, and then if you'll go ahead and read the next verse.
If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace.
And I don't know why these guys don't read the rest of this. So Jethro said, if God directs you to follow my advice, then you'll be able to endure, and all these people will return home in peace. In other words, take it before God. I'm giving you advice. Now you take it before God, and if God's all right with it, then you're going to find that this is going to be extremely beneficial to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that God's all right with it. That's a principle that should operate today. That's a principle that should operate in any organization, in any church, in any home. You understand? That eliminates the look at me, I'm the man type thing. What it does, it takes attention off of a person. It puts attention on God. Because it doesn't matter who is given the judgment, they're going to give you the judgment of God. Whether it's a man over 10 or a man over 1,000 or Moses himself, they're going to tell you what God says about that situation. And I'm going to tell you, the world is full of opinions, and that's the last thing we need. People don't need your opinion. They need to know what the Word of God says. So that's why we don't hang out no counseling shingle. You come to me for counsel, just be ready for teaching. Because that's what we're going to do. We're going to tell you what the Scriptures say. You understand? We're not going to stroke your flesh, and we're not going to take sides with you. And I'm not an arbitrator of whether you should have this much and they should have that much. Give them all of it. I've told people, you've lived without it this long, what's the big deal? It's not worth it. It's not worth destroying your Christian witness, you understand? It's not worth allowing resentment and bitterness to get in your heart. Keep your heart clean before God. You keep your eyes on God, God will bless you. And He doesn't need that stuff to bless you. He knows how to bless you. Yeah.
Verse 20.
Not everybody enjoys that, okay.
So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said.
So Moses took his father-in-law's advice. And you know what? Nations operate that way today.
Mm-hmm.
The United States of America operates by the principle, they just don't operate by the honesty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The Jethro principle is really a delegation of authority. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
The principle of delegation allows one to accomplish much more than he could accomplish by himself. You follow me? And so delegated authority, first off, must meet the scriptural criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And each one to whom authority is to be delegated must be properly trained before authority is delegated to. Don't give them authority and then try to train them. But train them first. And then delegate the authority. And then always understand this, that delegated authority is accountable to the one who delegated the authority. I've seen this over the years to where a person has been given authority, and then they want to usurp the authority of the one who gave them the authority. You don't have that right. You are answerable to and accountable to the one who gave you the authority. And if we'll work with this, operate with this principle, be honest, learn the Word of God, know the Word of God, and carry out the duty that you are assigned. I am a firm believer in job description. Because I've seen too many people overstep the boundaries. I worked secular work for years. We had job descriptions. As a matter of fact, I had an issue before I went into ministry working with a place. I had authority in an area, and another guy had authority in an area. He had no authority in my area, but he tried to take authority in my area, and I broke my back. And then the corporate executives came down and set us down. And I prayed before I went into that meeting, and the Lord just spoke the Word of God to me. And I never had to open my mouth. The thing was just revealed, and that thing was settled without any hostility. The guy was misinformed. He was just misinformed. And he and I were friends till I left there. You understand? Sometimes you keep your mouth shut. Let God fight your battles for you. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But because there was not a clear description to him of where his authority stopped. And that's what a lot of people don't know. They may know where it starts, but they don't know where it stops. My authority is in the parameters of this place. I don't have authority to go down the street and tell people what to do. I don't have the authority to tell you how to run your church or volunteer my thoughts and opinions. If you come to me and ask me something, then I can tell you the scriptural principle of it. But otherwise, it's by invitation. I have no authority to intervene. You follow me? And we can eliminate a lot of problems if we'll stay and operate in our realm of authority. And we all are a delegated authority. It doesn't matter if you're the president of something. Who delegated that to you? Then you're accountable. If God did it, then you're accountable to God. And he will bring you into accountability. You can bet on that. Okay? And so you constantly make yourself aware of that. I better carry out my duties in agreement with God. Otherwise, I'm usurping the authority of God.
Right.
And if I can't submit to authority, I don't need to be in authority.
Mm-hmm.
You think about the centurion who asked Jesus to come heal his servant. And Jesus goes down and he says, listen, I'm not even worthy for you to go into my house.
Yes.
Just speak the word and my servant will be healed.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I am a man not of authority. He said, I am a man under authority. I know how authority works.
Mm-hmm.
My superior tells me, and I do what he tells me, and the guys under me, I tell them, they do what I tell them to do. I know how authority works. It works with words. Just say the word. Just say the word. You understand? And so you just give the word of God. That's the smooth way for your authority to work, is you stay in the parameters of the word of God. Understand where your authority starts. Understand where your authority stops. You understand? The guy with 10 didn't have as much authority as the guy with 50.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have as much as the guy with 100. He didn't have as much as the guy with 1,000. Know where it starts. Know when it stops. Know when to refer.
Yes.
I have people that come to me about some issue. I say, you need to talk to some professional. You don't need to be talking to me. That's not my expertise. So it's not going to do you any good for me to tell you what I think. I can lead you astray by not knowing what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that don't know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Because they're ignorant of the Word of God in so many cases. Mm-hmm. You understand? And so this Jethro principle is a valid principle. And the delegated authority is vital to any organization for it to run smoothly. But remember, chain of command works two ways. It's not just chain of command going up, but it's also chain of command going down. For instance, Heather is delegated to be the general overseer of everything, just daily operation. Mm-hmm. And so if there's something going on, I don't need to go around her. I need to talk to her if there's something that I want done differently. You understand?
Oh, yeah.
I expect you to go through her, and I expect me to go through her.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? It's fair both ways.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want your authority to be respected, then you respect other people's authority. And I've run into this in secular work. I was a service manager, and I had guys, you know, that worked, I like to say, with me rather than for me. And I had a guy that he messed up. And there was a bad situation all the way around. But the owner of the business was so irate. And he said, I'm firing him. I said, listen, I hired him, so why don't you let me do that? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
To me, he was out of order. And so he did. He calmed down. And so I handled it differently than he would. And I didn't want to fire the guy. I really didn't want to fire the guy. I wanted to salvage the guy. I wanted to take that and let that be a teachable moment for him. But I had to let him go because I was told to. So I have to respect the authority over me. You understand? But here again, I expected him to expect the authority that he'd given me. Don't go around my back. Open door policy doesn't mean you just do everything you want to do. Follow the chain of command. Do a delegated authority. Things just run smoother. You want to know what your grade is? Go see Polly. Don't come to me. Because I'm going to send you to Polly. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a valid principle. That's the point I'm driving home. This is a valid principle, so don't disdain it. But be sure that you're following the wisdom of God in what you do. Be sure that you're honest. And when you put a person in position, don't put a person there that's not qualified for the position. It's a whole lot easier to put them in it than it is to get them out of it.
Mm.
So you need to pray about it. Okay? Now, where am I?
Well, I'm going to review a test question real quick. Let me review this. The Jethro principle illustrates delegated authority is what you're going to want to remember. All right.
So, you understand if you already read 25 and 26?
No, sir.
Go ahead and read that, even though I got into it.
And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons, the hard cases they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves.
So Moses takes this advice. He He sets us up. He selects people, puts them in position, and appointing judges over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Now, I want you to know this. This was full-time occupation, if you will. So these are full-time judges over the people, he says, every season. They're full-time judges, and the major cases were brought before Moses. But the smaller cases were judged by the delegated judges. You know, just small cases. And go to this guy's over 10. Just go to him. He can handle that. Mm. And when you take it to him, he'll say, well, I think you probably need to refer you to this guy over 50s. And if it's a little more difficult, well, let me refer you. And then he can say, let me refer you. And the hard cases was given to Moses. Go before Moses with these. Now, it appears to me, anyway, that the courts of America actually follow the pattern that Moses instituted to a certain degree. Now, I can't say they hate bribery. I can't say they're honest. I can't say they fear God. I'm just telling you that there's a delegation. You think about this. At state level, we have trial courts, appellate courts, Supreme Court. Federal level, you have district courts, courts of appeal, Supreme Courts. And so the severity of the case determines where the case is tried.
Mm-hmm.
Appeals can be made at which time the case goes to a higher court. Right? And so really it's following that principle. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
This one is over this. This one is over this. This one is over this. Now, what would happen if all the people that filled these positions were God-fearing, honest people who hated to bribe and judge impartial?
Mm-hmm.
Then you would see a godly nation.
Mm-hmm. So Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land.
So after he gives his counsel, Jethro doesn't stay around to try to run the nation. He brought the wife, the kids back to Moses. And while he was there, he saw what was going on. He gives Moses some advice, and then he returns home.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
He didn't say, you need to put me on your advisory board.
Chapter 19 records God's promise to Israel, the Lord's appointment to meet with the Israelites, the awesomeness of the Lord's appearing, the people's fear, Moses' ascension to the top of Mount Sinai, and God's warning. Verses 1 and 2. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. For they departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and they had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount.
So, after they had engaged Amalek in battle, and won that battle, they left Rephidim sometime afterwards, and then they go to the Sinai desert, and they set up camp in the Sinai desert, in front of Mount Sinai, or at the base of Horeb, however you want to say it. Okay?
And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, these are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel.
Look how often Moses calls out to God. He relies on God. He's seeking the counsel of God. So it says that Moses called, went and called out to God, and the Lord spoke to him from Mount Sinai. And this is what the Lord said: Speak to the house of Jacob, the descendants of Israel, and say to them, You've seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I've lifted you up on eagle's wings, metaphor, obviously, and brought you to me. Brought you to me. I brought you out to bring you to me. If you will listen to my voice and keep my covenant, you will be my treasure. Note this, out of all the people of the world. All the earth is mine. God hasn't given it up. You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a sacred nation. Note that God is wanting Israel to be a kingdom of priests. The sacred nation. Again, the Lord told Moses to speak these words to the descendants of Israel. And so Moses calls out to God. God answers him with instructions to give to the nation of Israel. Very explicit instructions. God wanted that entire nation to be a representative of God. That was his desire. And we'll have to come back to this in our next session because our time's up, okay? And Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. You guys have a great rest of the week.